again, please, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And reading from verse number 11, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 11, we'll cut into the parable the Lord is telling here. Verse 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no worthy to call thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Well, last night we read in Luke chapter 14 about a family, or a feast. And tonight's reading is to do with a famine. Well, let's read again in chapter 16 this time. Just over the page, chapter 16. And from verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried with the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, in hell, the lift of his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in the lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us who have come from thence. Then, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send into my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, that just means the Bible for our day, neither will they be persuaded for one rose from the dead. Now, it's quite interesting that there are lots of voices that are being heard today. An awful lot of messages being sent out to reach people's minds and reach people's hearts. I talked to a young man just the other day, and I asked him, I said, now, are you familiar with Christianity? It's getting to that point now. Are you familiar with Christianity? And he didn't really give me an answer. Well, I said to him, I said, you know, if you are open for God, we're not talking a certain place to come or a certain gathering. When we talk about the gospel, friend, we're talking now about a person's accountability to the Almighty. Now, friend, there's only one thing that's right. And what's not right is wrong. So I said to him, if you don't want to listen to anybody else, I said, listen to God. Break open the Bible. Let God speak to you. Now, I hope one benefit of gospel meetings and gospel preaching is that we can help people in a dilemma, some in a fog, to somehow get their bearings spiritually. Because you and I are going to be dead a long, long time. Now, Luke chapter 14, we have a setting there where there is a feast. We liken that to the Gospel Supper, a time where God spreads forth before people the bounties of all that's contained in the theme of redemption or in the doctrine of salvation. There's a lot of things that come to people who accept God's offer of forgiveness. But the voice that was heard as the Lord of the banquet sent a servant into the streets and lanes. What was it? Come! All things are now ready. And that's why, friend, in this meeting tonight, and on this night of your life, a starving, perishing sinner, fed up with life, and all it's got to offer, can have a taste of God's bounties and God's eternal blessings. Be satisfied now and satisfying forever. Come to Christ, as God's prayer in Paul, for all things are now ready. There's not one dime needs to go in the collection plate. Not one sip of communion wine. Not one drop of water in a baptismal font. Necessary to reconcile a soul to God. But we have gone further tonight. We've read in these two portions very, very, very solemn scriptures indeed. We've read in turn of a famine now and a voice from the world. Here's a young fellow on the wrong side of the tracks. Up against a brick wall. And what's the great word that stands out in his life? I have sinned. And I noticed three movements in the conduct and the affairs of this young boy, this young fellow. See, Luke 14 is the thought of a loving God. Benevolent, caring, concerned God that's provided for every individual in our meeting tonight, no matter where you have been, Mr. Lady. I mentioned last evening about a man that's just gotten saved in the north in Fort McMurray. Was charged with murder. Oh, after a barroom brawl. He knocked the fellow down in a apparently legitimate fight, but the fellow hit his head on a step and he died. That boy came out to a Bible study and found out through the Bible that his sins could all be forgiven. There's not a sin committed by any sinner in the world that the blood of Christ can't cleanse and can't forgive. And I stand here against all kinds of wickedness and sin in this world today. Some we know about, some we never heard of. And it's wrong. It'll find the sinner out. It's an attack against the character that God someday will meet. And the Bible says that the blood of Christ can cleanse from all sin. This boy left home. Listen, friend, your only link to God tonight is in the grounds of Creator with His creation, His creature. God is not your Father until you are born again of the Holy Spirit. It's true, the Bible says that the goodness of God leads men to repentance, and there's been many a person that's prayed in a jam. Prayed in a back into a corner, God help me out. And God has done that. Why? Because God cares about your eternal soul and wants to save your soul from hell and for heaven. And so here's this boy. And he's away from home. Separation is what confronts every person born of Adam's fallen race. We are born spiritually dead to God, separated from God because of sin. Why, friend, there's three strikes against us from day one. And being saved is being saved and going down to the righteous judgment that sin demands. Man born away from God, a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. He takes the sin like a duck takes the water. We can't help sinning. But friend, what you can help is dying that way. So this boy, he takes his share of the goods, and he heads on down the road. And so he only hasn't only left home, but he is away from home. And here's a young Jewish boy finds himself feeding pigs, an anathema, as far as his culture, his background, his upbringing is concerned. He's down where it's dirty and where it's rotten. Sometimes when I talked to a young fellow the other night, and he said, I'm at the end of my rope. The boy staggered to my car. And going home, he said, I'm at the end of my rope. Well, I used to call him by name. I haven't seen the boy for 10 years. I said, maybe that's where God has had to bring you right down to rock bottom. And sometimes your things fall apart in people's lives. What is this? This is God sometimes getting a person to look up and say, oh God, I need you now. And God hears that. This boy was down in an awful pit. And friend, the fact of the matter is, whether you're a choir leader tonight, or a bar hopper, whether you sing the songs of the faith, or curse, man is lost in his sins no matter where he is. And in danger of perishing forever in salvation, he is for lost souls who say, I don't know where I'm going. Person doesn't know they're going to us.
The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Our gospel's head is hit to those that are lost. And men are lost tonight. Lost in language. Lost in D.C. Lost in Canada. And in danger, friends, of perishing forever. And God is putting the gospel to us to reach you, young friend, tonight, in your wild career. To stop you, lady, in your restlessness in this world, and tell you there's more to life than what you're enjoying now. You see, a round world can't satisfy a three-cornered heart. You are made for God, and made by God, and not be satisfied inside your being until you're linked to God. There's an enemy outside that seems to be in a stupor, and in darkness, wandering down the broad road to ruin. We're here to tell you, stop, mortal, stop, and hear our tale so plain. You will be lost. You will indeed. Unless you're born again. When this boy got down there, what was that? It seems his relationship began to take a different perspective. He left home. He's away from home. But now he wants to get back on the track again. And friend, this is repentance, what this young boy experienced. And this is where God wants to bring you, friend, in the gospel, to a point where you're prepared to turn from the path you're on right now. Break path with the conduct and the companions that you may be engaged in and with. To take a good look at your life and see where it's gotten you here so far. And to look down the road of life and see where it's leading you. Because there's those that sit in church, quote unquote, gatherings. We have mentioned before, we're not against people being moral, being decent, being upright, even being law-abiding. But then listen, you might sit in a place of the holy, so to speak, every time the door is open. And if a person dies without Christ, will be in hell. That's why, friend, religion never died for anybody. While morality may keep sinners out of jail, it's only Christ runs keep sinners out of hell. And now this boy down in the far country, that about his lifestyle and his conduct. He doesn't talk to himself. Now, it isn't too bad to talk to yourself. The problem comes from answering your own questions. But he's down there and begins to think about his relationship with the past. Now, friend, repentance involves the intellect. That's why these meetings are meetings whereby things are mentioned and things are expressed and things are stated so we can appeal to your intelligence. We're not up here concocting some theory that we dreamed up out of some manual somewhere. We are taking what God says here. And there's things that are sometimes pretty hard to comprehend, and sometimes they hit us right between the eyes. My story is the old farmer shipped the 2x4 between the eyes, but in a way, it got the donkey moving. And sometimes we've got to make it very plain to people what we're saying. So this boy is here. And as he comes to himself, he thinks about the course he has traveled and the route that he is headed on. Then his emotions get involved. He says, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned. Now, friend, tonight, this issue of your own condition is between you and God. Repentance, of which this boy was partaking of and experiencing in the far country, involved his mind. He thought about his condition. It involved his heart. He said, Father, I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned. And he realized there must be an acknowledgement of his wrong. But friend, people can think about it. They can feel a sense of God speaking to them. But there came a moment when he arose and came to his father and said, Father, I have sinned. What is that? It involved the will.
Now, friend, that's exactly what we're speaking about in the gospel, is the will of the sinner.
Will you come to Christ in this day of grace, on this memorable Thursday night, in this location as God's word is being preached in your ear, young friend, older one tonight? Will there not only be a mind that's involved in comprehending the rebuilding of the faith and of what the Bible says? Or the fact that I should get wrong, matters made right all these years I've gone on in my sins.
But friend, we're calling for sinners in the gospel to arise and return to the God that you strayed from in sin.
Because you see, friend, sin is not just against the or against the police or against the principal or against your parents. Sin's a crime against God. And the boy came back. He said, Father, I have sinned. A famine. And a voice that comes from the lost world.
And any sinner in our gathered tonight that understands that God is there, and God sees, and God knows, and God cares, can come to God who is forgiven. And on the grounds of the bloodshed, this boy had a calf that was slain.
He was given the new robe. And the new shoes, the new rain, and the calf suggested to us of redemption of the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus. The one boy lost was now found. The one dead was now alive. Why?
Because came a moment in his life and he came back to the one that he strayed from and who accepted him now as he returned, and there's a waiting tonight. Well, I said here in the meeting, friend, there's a waiting for you, no matter where you have gone, what you have done. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to move over to our last text. We have looked at the idea of the peace and a voice that comes from above, a famine and a voice that comes from the world. We have read here in Luke 16 of a flame and a voice from hell. Because, friend, there's a man there who cried for mercy. But it was too late.
You see, friend, in time is the
time to get the issue settled of where I'm going to be when I come to the end of the journey. Why should this man rather have been saved? You see, he should have been saved because of God's goodness to him. This rich man was clothed in purple, and he fared something every day. He was there, a recipient of the goodness of God to him every single day of his life. Friend, listen, God's been good to you. God's been good to me. I thank God for Christian family. I thank God for liberties in this land to be able to hear the gospel. And young friend, old one tonight, God has been good to you all these years. And this man that lived in that place of favor, he died. And he had a burial.
But then his journey was not up with Lazarus.
He was down to the place of tombs. And friend, the sad reality is this. As we sit here tonight in this favored place of gospel preaching, there are thousands, yea, millions of souls that have been on this planet who have had their opportunity, who have had their day. And in the years of their life, God has been good to them. He has blessed them, maybe with Christian influences. Maybe has given them good health and strength and a fine family. And this man who lived on this planet and who died unlike his companion should have recognized that God was kind to him. But the other thing is this, that his friend died first. His friend died before him.
He was a friend that would have spoken to him and would have lived it before him. But the end came for his companion.
And friend, many times in the course of our life, God has chosen to speak to our hearts regarding life's brevity
And sometimes it's the other person that's taken from our midst. Maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe it's a near and dear companion. We'll recall one day from my own experience going along to school and of course being stopped because of an accident. When I went to the crowd and walked up to where the accident had taken place, they were waiting for the jaws of life to come. I recognized the car of a very close friend of mine. And I stood for a long time. Eventually they extricated Monty out of the little Corvair that had wrapped itself around a fire hydrant. And a lot of girls, especially as well as fellas, were standing there, and a lot of them were crying as eventually they pulled this boy out of this wreck. Eventually the ambulance went on its way down to the hospital. And that afternoon I went over to the hospital. I knew this boy well. It was in my classes in school, and I went up to the nursing station. And I said to her, I said, I'm just asking about Monty Bumby. I said, I'm a friend of Monty's. And she said, are you family? I said, no, I'm just a school friend. Well, she said, I can tell you anyway. She said, Monty Bumby just passed away about 15 minutes ago. I stood there that day. I thought, now I wonder where Monty is now. Monty had Christian friends that had spoken to him. He had Christian neighbors that were right alongside that had even invited the family to come to meetings like this. And in a moment of time, that young lad was taken from this life into the next. Listen, friend, there is a feast tonight that's offered for every single person here, and the call is come. All things are now ready. There's a famine outside the doors. And there is a voice that comes from the world, I have sinned, and there are sinners getting saved from the pleasure haunt of sin tonight. And they've been to the bars. They've been a high on drugs. They've been living lives that are wicked and wretched and sinful. And they're going to come from the famine. I have sinned against God, against heaven. But then there's a flame. And a voice comes from beneath our feet. Have mercy. But friend, there's no possible way for mercy once a person has gone from the scene. To you tonight, that's future. You're here in the body, in life, in the golden opportunity period of the day of grace, and a person that humbled themselves and turned to Christ for salvation. And I wonder, friend, before it is too late for you, would you not just come as you are to the Savior and put your faith and confidence in Him as the one that can satisfy your deepest longings and change your very life, friend, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Because, friend, if you go on in the way you're traveling tonight, in your sins, the sad possibility is you may never have such an opportunity as God's giving you right now. This is an example of God's day of grace. I preach of a man who sat only for 4 nights as he heard a gospel. And as God spoke to his heart on the 4th night, the text was Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This man had been a GI in the war. He'd come back from seeing all kinds of things that take place in times of war, and he came back. And God so designed it that he would come to spend time with relatives and hear the gospel on the 4th night of gospel preaching. The young man in his early 20s realized he was lost and in danger of perishing forever. And that Jesus Nazareth was passing by. A year ago, he was never thought about being in a place like that. And he thought to himself, a year from now, I might never have any concern for my soul, but here I am tonight. And that man, but down on 2 knees beside his bed, most souls get saved upon 2 knees. And as he realized that Jesus Nazareth was passing by, I might never come his way again. For he didn't pass Zacchaeus again,
That was Zacchaeus' one and only opportunity to lay hold of Jesus as he made his way past Jericho.
And young friend or old one tonight, you're here.
A favorable moment in your life to reach more, so to speak, by faith to the Savior
and receive him
and accept him and make him your own.
Because friend, he never pass you by this way again.
And so we appeal to our audience. We trust the mighty heart's repentance tonight before God, stopping and turning from their course
and finding a Savior alive,
able to forgive sins and save souls,
who will do it
the moment the seeking sinner
comes in contact with the seeking Savior, and the result be God's salvation. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for every heart in our gathering this night that has had a moment in their life when they've opened themselves to God's moving and God's Spirit, and they have passed from death unto life through simple childlike faith in the Lord Jesus. But our Father, we fear for multitudes that listen to the gospel and perhaps even gather here tonight that have got room for business and room for pleasure, but never had room in their hearts for the Lord Jesus, the one that bled and died yonder upon the cross, who paid and dropped the precious blood, the price to set the sinner free. And our God, we think on this evening, as people have come again to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there may be an individual that might stop, look and listen, repent of their sins, put faith alone in the Lord Jesus, and be born again of Thy Spirit. Our Father, we thank Thee for each one that has come, and we pray Thy word might be used to awaken them at this very moment, and that indeed our Father, the joy bells in heaven would ring over one sinner who repents and comes to Christ. We ask Thy blessing, Father, upon Thy word to every heart, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's sing together 132. The first verse says, "There is a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone. Whiles it bids thee from God wrath to flee, and this verse of Jesus now come. Sinner, hear and obey. It is the voice of the Spirit that cries. While he strives, yield to him. Do not quench the convictions that rise." We're going to sing verses 2 and 3 of 132. We're glad as well that are here tonight on this Thursday evening. This meeting is tomorrow night. And then on Sunday and all next week, in the will of the Lord, at the hour of 7:30, we trust to try and get back again. We've mentioned before, if any would care for a visit or any further conversation about the matters preached here in the meetings, we would only be too glad to sit down and for a convenience, friend, to discuss further these matters. But there is too much at stake. I want to say this in closing. Too much at stake to let matters stand as they are. And so we thank you for coming on this evening. We trust that God might speak to you, and that if you get saved, certainly let us know. 2 and 3 of 132.